Hey,
welcome hey back. How's it going?
So we're I here. Guess you guys lasted this long. Episode 50, what?
Episode 50, actually. Big milestone.
Okay, so this is probably going to be the season finale, guys, for this season in terms of like whether we win or lose. So just to give you an update, so this is a reality show about basically startups, and me and Roberto are doing some startups. I'm doing some of the Kofuk Labs, and Roberto's doing Master OT with me as well. And basically, you know, I handed the reins of Master OT last night to Nick and Roberto, essentially, because I'm so busy with Fug Labs, and I have, you know, I've been mentoring Roberto already, but I just couldn't commit more, you know, than, you know, I can right now. So I basically gave Nick the leadership and made him the CEO of Master OT, which is great. Nick is actually really great. I met him through a photo shoot, actually. And I'll have him on the show, but he's a great videographer, a great cinematographer. He wants to create documentaries. We might make a documentary together with some of my theories. We become good friends, like, you know, Roberto and I. And so these guys, we met last night to essentially kick off and co-found Master OT again with a reboot. Do you want to talk about it, Roberto? Like, what was that experience like?
No, it was fun. Like, we get to know new people, and well, Master OT, it's taking a twist a little bit. Like, some things are going to get added on, and there's going to be like a more interesting project, more like it's going to be like more of an environment. And like, we take care of everything, and the team seems to want to do this, and we'll see how it goes. Like, the motivation can only take you so long, and we have to set up some this discipline aspect of it and get our to-do lists right away.
But basically, it's a reboot, right? So basically, like, the main thing is, we're saying startups are really hard. So this is like the fifth time or something, right? Sixth. Well, actually, no, this is the first time, second time. I think this is the third time.
I would say, right?
In 2 years. Okay. The difference is the team. You got to have motivated people who are really into it, but also the idea, they have to buy in and all that stuff. And I think we finally figured an idea too that I think we can all buy into, right? That's a lot better than the old idea.
Yeah. Well, the old idea was more like a... Like it was missing what we implemented last time. Like this, in this reboot, we're going to give it like the whole thing.
Okay. So no one's listening to the show anyway. So let's just dig deep into it. Like this, you're actually going to go to.
We do have our listeners, just for the record. Like we have like our, there's like 12, 15 people that are actually watching.
Okay. Last night was officially the co-founding event for Master OT. This is a reality show. This is actually just happened.
Yeah.
So in my living room, around 4 o'clock, we had a Zoom call. It was Roberto. Nick was actually physically at my house in my living room. And then we had two other people involved. They're basically the tech team. They're basically some interns or basically people that are working for me on some projects. And I asked if they want to work on this project, and we're actually going to pay them to work on this project, where they're going to build the technology. They're master's students at Northeastern. They do computer science, and they already did a project for me successfully. So that's why we have a tech team, I think, that can do what we need to do. But the thing was, when you do a company, right, don't be married to the idea. That's the one big mistake that I think entrepreneurs have. Be married to the problem you're trying to solve.
Be flexible about it.
Be flexible. And don't worry about all the details. Worry about the people first, the people you work with, right? So do small tests. Something I learned the hard way, which is, okay, let's say you have a tech team. Before, I would say, hey, let's work with them for a week or two. Let's hire them part-time or on a contract or something like that, right? And now I just say, why don't you take a test? Take a test where you do this small thing for me. It will take you 1 day. And make it something that they would do for your company. And once they do that one test, it could be a longer test. Like, hey, do you want to do this 3-day what project? And I'll pay you, right? So it's like a small contract, right? Like a fixed bid, 3 days, whatever number of hours, you know, and then try it out. And surprisingly, this is one that works 100% for me so far since I've changed to this new method.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll name some examples, right? So one example was a kid who I normally would hire, and I did hire, went through the whole process. Everyone loved him, and then I gave him a test. And then he didn't do it at all. He didn't really communicate very well. and I averted a disaster. I averted a person I would have worked with for a couple months, a couple weeks, maybe even like had conflicts with this person, and then eventually find out who he really is and then let him go too late. Or maybe not even find out.
Maybe he does really well.
But then in the end, like 5 years later, I find out, right? But this is actually something that like I started doing like 6 months ago, and that worked. It averted that disaster. It got me.
Yeah, no, it worked, man. Like, if you guys want to go watch it back, it's episode 14, and then it follows up on episode 22. Okay. If you guys want to go check it out.
And then the last two people, right? The last, like this group, and then my assistant, my new protege, the new person I'm working on the product team. He might be in the show if he wants to, but he's actually fantastic because I gave them two tests, one test each, right? And they did something. In that, they were both like a week or two, couple week tests, like, because some of them were on vacation. Like, it was like during Christmas. They actually hustled through vacation. Like, they actually worked during Christmas and the New Year's when they were, you know, remotely to get this project done. Right. So that was actually cool. And also I wanted to test, right? Can these guys care about this job that much, right?
It's commitment.
Yeah. Secondly, they accomplished something that in a week or two, the previous people I had to try these projects, they couldn't do in a month or two.
Oh, shit. It's a fourth of the time right there. 25%.
Well, because I know how long things take.
Mm-hmm.
And what their time frame was about right. A week or two.
Okay.
Max. And it was me, it'll be 1 to 2 days.
Okay.
That, because you can get really elite, right? Because once you know the stack, exactly what to do, then it's easier for you to do. So there's a ways to get 10x, right?
Yeah.
But so then I realized, okay, these guys are going to be winners, but I could also tell what kind of winner they were. So, you know, the one I hired, the one that's actually full time for me, he's a rock star. I said he was going to be a rock star, and I worked with him for the last 2 weeks, and he's a rock star.
Nice.
Right. And this other group, not as rock star, but they're good. So even though they both passed, they passed with different grades in my mind. And now I can start with a point where I can actually give them assignments within their capacity.
Which is really important. Be able to assess your crew and see who can do what. It helps out with the delegating.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't need to hire the smartest person, because if they're really smart, they'll be bored at a mid-level or low-level task. So basically, you don't want Einstein washing dishes, right? Or you don't want Einstein, you know, doing, you know, accounting.
Yeah.
But someone who wants to do accounting as a career and actually strives to do that and wants experience doing accounting, that's a perfect candidate. So you have to hire to the level that the job is for. Because you need to be it should be a little bit above their pay grade so they learn something, right? And a little bit good enough that they can actually do a good job.
Yeah. And people need to communicate that as well. I mean, like, they should tell you, like, this is what I want to do.
Right. And also the personality. Some people, like, so they're actually types of people. Like, you know, so they're personality tests you can take, right? So there are people who like to take care of things. They're gardeners, right? They're farmers. They like to farm.
Yeah.
And have their harvest every year, have schedule, have organization, have things that are very clear that when they go to the farm, they know they have to milk the cows and feed the chickens. It's very clear. And that's their ideal life. So you give that to someone who does customer service. Maybe a salesperson, because they come in and make sales every day. Or someone who likes to do accounting. Or someone who likes to do manufacturing or operations. That's a farmer. You should hire people who like to farm. Okay. Then you have people who are hunters. These people are restless. They want to go and shoot, you know, the mammoth and go hunting for the tribe and take that back and have the glory and all that stuff. And those hunters, you know, they don't like structure. They just want to go on their own. They're loners.
Yeah, they're loners.
Or maybe they're called, I call them solopreneurs. So they're entrepreneurs, but they don't like working with people. That's fine, right? No, but, you know, they're loners. But they're entrepreneurs and they do their own thing. As long as you give them an assignment, as long as you give them freedom, as long as you give them a clear, you know, goal and ways to hunt and all that stuff and how to prize and make it a game.
And don't meet the deadlines. That's it.
No, but you have They'll to make it like a hunt. You have to make, see, the piece, reason why people hunt is for the thrill. The thrill of a game that they win. And if the more you gamify that job, the more competitive that job, the more intense that job, the more thrilling. The bigger the bonus you can win, the ranking of this top sales folks. Like there's the, in hunting, the sales folks that farm. Mm-hmm. So if you build a sales team, you have to have both. You have to have hunters get the first project for a new client. And then once you have that hunter get that, they can continue to farm it if they want. Or have a team that farms it for them. Or hands it off to someone else who farms it. Because now it's about building that relationship and farming that land. So the two types of roles, right? And the hunters make more money. Well, the farmers make money too. But the hunters make more money because they can hunt as many kills as they want. And sometimes those hunters are ruthlessly amazing and efficient at sales. And they sell tons. And they sand it off and they farm it further. And they even have a team that can farm it. But they're the ones who rule the world.
Hunters.
Hunters. Because once you hunt, you have a client, let's say Procter & Gamble. Mm-hmm. Or Nike or Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's worth billions to some consulting firm, hundreds of millions, maybe less, I don't know. But it's worth a lot to someone. It's a big account. Now, that big account is going to make you a lot of money for your company. And so that hunter is going to get a huge commission and huge props for saving the company because that's a contract that got us over the top or kept us going, whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even a law firm, right? A law firm, you get Prince Harry to be a client. Now, that partner, that person makes partner because they found the whale client, yeah, right? So sometimes when you hunt, you can hunt for whales, and those whales make your career. So sometimes a hunter can get one whale and farm it the rest of the time. For example, you get to be lawyers for Donald Trump, right? And then you get to milk and farm that for the rest of his life. As long as he doesn't die, you can get a lot of law, you know, legal fees.
Oh, yeah, a lot of milking there. A lot of stuff
that's a super whale right there, and you made your career. And that's what people do, right? And then sometimes you have two or three whales because what happens is that whale likes you so much that they're going to give you the account for Ivanka Trump and whatever the wife and husband is, whatever. The idea is you can get referrals from those original whales to other whales.
Yeah, once you're in, you're in. Like,
and it could be good hunting. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, and usually what happened is the people look like you. You went to school with them. You went to college with them. And you used to play basketball on the basketball team. And you were both varsity basketball players. And now they're the CEO of Nike. Right? And then you basically say, hey, I started a firm that does PR. Can you give me a try? Of course he's going to give you a try.
Yeah. 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 So that's your foot in the door. So you get
sometimes
that right
hunting is relationship based. And that's why some people do better than others. But it also shows that maybe you know the people that you are nice to, you'd be nice to a lot of people all the time, you're planting seeds of karma.
Yes.
Right? So even though you may be on the basketball team, you might have been a jerk. And you might have, you know, not liked each other. And then maybe that karma wouldn't have been so great. So that's actually what I want to kind of talk about, right? So in Fook Labs, we are basically going to run out of money in the next couple of months, or a couple of weeks actually, if we don't get the investment that we need. And the economy sucks because the stock market went down 35% last year. It's January 12th, 2023 right now. And by the end of January, we'll have to make a decision. I'll have to make a decision to streamline the company and keep it alive, which that's what I'm going to do. Or we close one of three investors. And this is the reality show. I want to go over the end of the story because if we go 0 for 3, then we're out of business. If we go 1 for 3, then we get all the money we need, which is $3 million plus, right?
So we had somebody as well who wanted all in, no?
Yeah, I'm going to explain all three. So I want to recap. This is a recap, right? And then it's about to happen. So let me name the third worst, and I'll go to the best. How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
So the third worst, I've been talking about this, is a bunch of Asian investors. I know the person personally. He actually is a friend of mine. He helped me with my first company. And then he happens to be, you know, really wealthy because, you know, he's done really well with his career and his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually helped me start Fook Labs indirectly by basically buying some shares of my last company for $250,000. And that was where this whole thing started in 2020, right? And that was a personal transaction, and that those shares, the 250,000 shares that he of stock that he bought, mm-hmm. has quadrupled in value. It's gone up to $1 to $2 million probably for him.
Pretty good.
So the reason why he's even on this list is because I said to him, look, you've already made money for me. You've already made money for me. I'd like you to look at this investment. And he looked at it and he says, this is pretty good, but I need you to convince this other investor in Vietnam that I know who's very wealthy to do this deal. And if he says yes, then we can both do the deal together and we'll help you. Because he actually liked the idea. So he really liked the idea. So I'm not going to tell names, but this Vietnamese investor, really nice guy. He's actually a billionaire. Both of these guys are billionaires, by the way. Like filthy rich agents. You know the TV show?
Yeah, I watched the movie, actually.
Yeah, the movie. The movie, that's them, basically. Something like them, right?
That's crazy.
But they're really cool. They're great people, too. And I want to work with them. I seriously wanted to work with them really bad. I still do, right? Mm-hmm. But I've been giving information to this Vietnamese investor, but he's so busy. Because a lot of shit happened in 2022, I'm sure on his side too. Okay. With the economy, with maybe Vietnam benefiting from all the Chinese overflow. People want to manufacture in Vietnam instead and do business there. Or maybe his other companies are taking off. He's a really busy guy and he couldn't make a decision. But it took him a long time. But with these folks, you have to be patient.
Because he have a team of people?
What's that?
I thought they had like a team of people that would like...
Yes, he has a team of people.
Look into this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I talked to him, he was very interested. He's like, let me get my team of people, like you said, on this. And the team of people hasn't gone back to him. They've been working on other projects too.
Okay.
And also things in Vietnam are very slow. Sometimes he has to get information from this minister or this whatever or this bureaucracy.
Because he's
actually very tied into this and he wants to make sure we can do it there.
Okay.
And he has a certain process and his team is doing it, but it's been like 2 months. So this conversation started with him November, and now it's January. So actually even 3 months. So I basically said, hey, happy 2023. I'd like to regroup and like to show you what we've done and all that stuff. Because, you know, because at one point he said, hey, look, I really like this idea, but give me time. But he said it twice.
Okay. Like
he said it once and I asked him a second time, he said twice. And so that's why I left him for like 2 months without saying anything.
Yeah, no, he's not trying to bail out on this. Yeah,
right. But I said, happy 2023. What are you thinking? And he felt really bad, okay, because it's been 2 months. And he says, I don't have the bandwidth. I can't do it, essentially, right? Which is fine.
Okay.
But maybe if something happens in 2023, I'll let you know, or if something happens on your side. So basically, it's a nice, hey, look, I don't have time, which is great. Because now I can close the book on this guy.
Yeah, it's an answer. Yeah, that's a thing.
And I said, as a favor, can you please ask my friend, you know, the one who referred him, can you let him know that you're too busy? So it doesn't look like I didn't communicate with you very well or all that. Now, at this point, it goes back to my friend, who I think he truly does like the idea. But he's also very successful. He probably has other projects too. And he's probably in the same situation as this guy.
Okay.
So that's why these guys are number three. Because I don't think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Unless I go begging, and I might, because he's really busy, and I think these two guys, they would have done in safety.
You wouldn't be begging for like the money per se, but just like to get some priority within all the stuff they have going on.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. Like, please pay attention to this. That it's a great thing, and it does have a deadline though.
No, what I'm doing is I'm asking you, the Vietnamese investor, right? Big favor. Can you ping the other person and basically get him to see if he's interested? So basically, instead of me asking for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I asked for the other person to politely give an update of his situation, which is he's too busy to look at it, and then put it back in the ball of the other person. And I'm hoping that in the next week or so that person pings me.
Okay.
Now, if they don't ping me, I'm going to wait till the end of the month to ping them. 3 weeks from now, weeks from now. Okay, so that's why they're number three. Okay, so they're number three because there's a relationship there.
Yeah.
They've given me money in the past. They like the idea. We worked together before, actually, right? Mm-hmm. So we're actually co-founders of the first company I ever had, right? Or essentially, right?
Yeah, but
you know, not directly, but second co-founders, let's say, right?
Well, there's a track record there.
No, well, they helped us fundraise, let's say that, and write the business plan for the first company we did, right? So, yeah, kind of co-founded, right? And then essentially 20 years has passed, but there's still that connection. We have stayed in contact, Christmas cards, stuff like that. But obviously different sides of the world because they're in Asia. But we, you know, I think there's still a connection. And obviously because of that connection, they helped me last time. And reluctantly, by the way, I basically had to beg. Basically, please, please, please. And they did it. And actually worked out for both of us because they felt good about themselves, but they actually did really well with the investment. And when I became a millionaire, they also became, you know, millionaires with me with that investment, right? Because they went from $250,000 to, I believe, $1 to $2 million at least. And it's just going to keep going higher and higher, right?
Yeah.
So basically, I think I would say 50-50. 50-50 odds. Okay.
Still pretty good odds, though.
Sure. So number two, I want to go to number two. So that the second possible one is a venture capital VC that is actually it's a big VC that's part of the state. Okay. And you can probably, you know, based on that hint, know what I mean. And we've been talking to them for a while.
Okay.
We know the main person that manages that fund. We met him last year and he was an advocate for us. He referred us to someone who helped us write a grant. And that person who helped us write a grant, we didn't get the grant, but now they work for that same firm. So she was a contractor that he referred.
Yeah.
And then that person now went and worked for him for that same firm, the investment firm, right? So they both like us. They both know our technology. They both visited the lab.
Yeah, there's an end.
In the last, around December time, end of December, towards the end of December, middle of December, and also beginning of December. So basically, they're going to think about it along the way. The big boss knows somebody who knows us, who wants to invest as well, right? And so there's a lot of local momentum because they can help us get grants because they're part of the government, right? And they have access to information about where to get materials and feedstock. They've already invested in a lot of green tech companies, in particular recycling companies, and things for the green future, because Massachusetts is very, very into trying to become the new Silicon Valley, but for the green future. So there's a lot of green technology companies here. Yeah, there's robotics companies here. We're probably the number one area for robotics, biotech, and green technology.
You think that's the way it's going? That would be amazing. Like, I'm all for these like green technologies. It's we need to stick around for a bit longer, and all of these things enable us, like give us longevity on.
Yeah. So there's something called the Earthshot Prize. It was given. It was actually here that it was hosted, and the princess and prince came here, Prince Harry, and the princess came here to actually give out the prize, or you know, meet with the candidates. So that's how big a deal this the Boston area is, right? So.
Yeah.
So this is actually ideal for us because, you know, we're local boys. We have access to help locally. We will be able to leverage some of the connections here and access the government money. So that's number two for me.
Okay. It's a pretty good number two.
Yes. But, you know, every VC has said no to us for some reason. So I'm crossing my fingers. This is like a year in the works because they saw us go from zero. And they saw us go from this idea to this idea to this, and then figured out finally something to make money. And hopefully they are convinced. But with the economy so bad, with, you know, VCs the way they are, you know, it's hard to understand some of these decisions. I would say 50-50.
Okay.
50-50.
Again.
Yeah, just because, look, I was saying 80-90 for some VCs, and then for some reason something happened. Right. So this is actually quite embarrassing for one of the VCs. They wanted to do it. And I believe that when they actually called to get the money from the people who promised them money, those people didn't have enough money because they lost so much money in the stock market last year that they said, hey, don't invest in anything new or
over this stage. Amount.
Yeah. Only invest in things that are sure bets and guarantees, larger companies that I can believe in. So basically, we got axed. Okay, so normally they would have invested in us because they would have money to invest in all types of companies. They claim that. They're a big fund, right? But they failed to get the money, and it was kind of embarrassing for them. I thought.
It is, of course.
I'll never work with that company. Let's just say that. I don't want to say who they are, but it's really embarrassing. Because they wasted our time. They wasted our time because we could have worked with other firms because we said, hey, you got serious? Yeah, we're very serious. And then they jerked us off.
Yeah.
Really, really, really pissed at them. I would never work with those guys again. So screw them. So that's an example, right? That's an example. That happened a month or two ago, right? And so basically that's number two, the good guy VC maybe that isn't such a jerk. But also, you know, their money comes from the government. So right now the government has a lot of money for green technology. So just to give you the situation in the US, Joe Biden, the president, you know, he's trying to, you know, bring jobs back, manufacturing jobs, semiconductor jobs back to help the economy, green tech jobs, the green future, rare earth metals, you know, recycling, all these things are going to help the country.
Yeah, no, definitely. Everybody. Like we need those. There's not a lot of them to go around.
I want these guys to say yes. Because I want to help the country. Right. And this would benefit because whatever money I make for these this VC will actually go to the state and to the government and to the people. And I like that a lot. I also like the fact that, you know, these guys can open the doors to work with the government more efficiently. And we can be team members to help save the world. So I really hope, I'm crossing my fingers. I know it's 50-50, but I really hope these guys say yes.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, they're great folk. I'd love to work with them, but I don't want to keep my hopes up, right?
Yeah.
Because
anything
can happen at that level.
Of course, because you've been hurt before, Fook.
Well, but also, you know, you gotta be realistic, right? In this economy, anything can happen.
It's not about me.
It's about like the situation that they're in. Like I can't control that, right?
Yeah, no, and you can't. It's not about taking it personally either. I mean, like, there's only so much money to go around, so it is what it is, you know. So, let's hope for number one. Who's number one?
Okay, so my number one draft pick is this person. So, I basically code my network for people, and I found someone that I thought would be a good salesperson for us. And this person actually hired last time. I gave a job offer. He didn't take the job offer. But we stayed in contact. We stayed in contact, and we actually were friendly for like the last 5 years since I was running my last company. Because I offered him a job at my last company, and he didn't take it. Some other salesperson took it, right? Mm-hmm. But he kicked ass, and I wanted to hire him for this firm.
Okay.
So I took him out to dinner with his dad, and his dad was so interested in investing that he said, "Hey, I'd like to invest too."
That's amazing.
Yeah, so his dad, I actually pitched his dad last time too, and his dad said no to the last company. So his dad actually regretted not investing in my last company, Clinical Research IO, because his dad was actually a doctor, right? And he knew about the
industry.
Right
up his alley.
And he actually, I said he did look at the deal, but he didn't do it. And now he regrets it because, you know, obviously I'm rich because of it, right?
So I
have credibility with this family. Okay, so and we had this is the second dinner we had. We actually get along really well. I think we have a connection spiritually, and like we're friendly. I would eat dinner with these guys just because we were friends, right?
Yeah, some people you just click, you know.
Yeah, some people you click, right? So then he says, "Okay, I'll help you. I'll invest in you, and let's do some stuff. But I have some people who can possibly help you." So one person that possibly could help me was at a bank. At this bank, that they said that, hey, why don't you invest in yourself and just loan money and use your last company as collateral, right? As stock collateral, right? And I actually went to the bank, and this is something that happens all the time. So for example, let's say you work at Uber and you're the CEO of Uber before they went public.
Okay.
You can go to a bank and say, look, let me borrow $10 million and my Uber stock is collateral.
Yeah, but what's
so
the...
So you have to sell your stock. It happens all the time.
What's the interest though?
There's some interest. Mm-hmm. But it'll be something that, you know, as your stock goes up, it won't matter because you're going to be a billionaire.
Okay.
Right? So it's going to be 8%, 10%, something reasonable because these guys want to do business with you. Because later on, when they hook you up, what happens is when you go public, when Uber goes public, you hire that firm.
Yeah.
So let's say Goldman Sachs lets you borrow $10 million. You're going to use Goldman Sachs to do when you go public or anything transaction.
Yeah.
But so like, it's a bribe. There's nothing to say, but pretty much. So when you ask what's the interest, that's a silly question, Roberto. The interest is as low as you can make it because it's a bribe, dude. Okay, yeah, it's not a transaction where they make money. Okay, these guys are not going to make money on that. They make money later.
Mm-hmm. But like, I see, like, if for whoever's watching this and they're like between, like, oh, should I go to the bank or should I just ask my friends for money? Like, what should you, like, the decent thing offer? Like, if you were to borrow, let's say, like, $500,000 from your friend.
Well, there's usury laws in Massachusetts, so it's 20% here. It's 20% is the max. Yes, the max you can let anyone borrow. So these laws are called usury laws, U-S-U-R-Y, where a certain state will let you loan money to other people, but there may be a cap of what the percentage rate could be in that state.
Okay.
Unless you're certified to be whatever regulatory, then you can charge more like a credit card, right? But they have to follow certain regulations. But you have to look in your country and look in your state for the max amount, okay? But what I would say is, look, if it's your friends and family, you're going to lose the money. So don't invest in it unless you think you're actually going to do it as a favor for someone. Just assume you're going to lose the money because it's 1 out of 8. Okay, 1 out of 8, even with the best companies, it's 1 out of 8. So imagine you're just supporting their life. Trust me, that's the only way you have to look at it, because if you actually think you're going to make money, then go put in the stock market. Don't put it in them because you're not going to argue with the stock market and break your relationship with the stock market, but you may break up with your friend because of something that goes down.
Yeah. Okay. Try to keep it like not personal.
No, consider it like a donation to the church.
Like, but instead,
the church is your friend.
Yeah. The church
is your friend's life. An investment in your friend's life. Okay. Like, if they want to open a restaurant, great. That's it. You just lost that money, but maybe you get a couple of free meals. That's it. That's how I would think about it. Seriously, trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you think of it any other way, it's not going to end good. It's not going to end well at all. Okay.
Man. So it's like it's something you have to weigh in, like at the moment of asking for stuff.
Well,
and forgiving it.
Well, that's like a small business. Okay. That's different from what we do, right? What we do, there'll be people involved. We already raised $1 million on this company, right? And there's a whole process. But at this point, you have to think of it as a stock, right? Do you want to own this stock or not? And it's not loaning to your friend. It's investing in your friend's private company where it's a secret deal. It's like a secret deal that you can make a lot of money from that you only have access to because your friend gave you this opportunity. But think of it as buying any stock on the stock market. But it's not your friend's fault that the stock bombs. But it's your friend that opened the door for you to even have access to. For example, let's say you wanted to invest in SpaceX right now because you think that Starlink is going to take off. You can't. There's no way you can do it unless you know someone in the company, right? So your friend Elon Musk starts the company.
Yeah.
He says you want some SpaceX. Do you think he needs the money? No, he's giving you a gift.
Okay.
But then you go and invest in SpaceX and you lose everything. Are you going to blame Elon? Maybe, if you're a jerk, right? But that might happen too. So Elon, when he offers you this stock, he's actually there's a two-way risk. Like, you might try to sue him later because you thought it was a sure thing because you did FTX. FTX, Tom Brady got Bob Kraft into it, got his wife into it, got his friends into it. And guess what happened to FTX? It went bankrupt. What do you think Tom Brady's feeling right now?
Yeah, and all the other guys as well. Like, there's a bunch of people involved into that thing, that scam.
Yeah, so I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. So don't worry about that being something that's a sure thing, because that's not going to be a sure thing. Think of it as you go to the casino and you put, a number on the roulette wheel, right? And then hopefully it lands on that number, but it probably won't. I'm telling you the truth.
Okay, yeah. So it's just like, think about the money you're going to give away as something that you might not get back, and that's it. That's just like to keep
you. No, you will not get back. I'm talking about a small business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A small business. Let's say your friend wants to open a restaurant, open a hotel, open a daycare, do a hair nail salon, do a barbershop, do home delivery, something. Not what I'm talking about. What I'm doing is like enterprise. That's like starting.
Yeah, business. No, exactly.
It's very different, right?
Yeah, like that. Like within that same realm of stuff. Like,
right, but in terms of percentage to charge, I would charge 20% to 30%.
Okay.
A bank would charge you about that.
Okay. Right?
20 to 30%. That's what a bank would charge you, but you're not going to get a bank loan. See, so what happens is you go to your family and friends because the bank won't give you the money. But if you were to give the money and say, what would the bank charge? They would charge 20-30%.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a business. It's going to fail the first year. 70 or something, exactly 80% like businesses fail the first year. Guaranteed, look up with that number.
Yeah, no, they choke you from the beginning.
Yeah. So like the bank knows, you know, they need to charge a premium.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they're going to do is if you do a bank loan with them, if you don't have any assets, they're not going to loan you the money. So even if you did have the assets, they may have a personal guarantee and you might be personally liable.
Oh, right? So they come after you.
So basically there's a lot of things that the bank are going to make you do. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do. But if it's a friend, like I said, charge 20%. Don't rape them, 30%, right? If you really think it's really risky, do 30%. If you think it's a sure thing, do 20%. I would not do lower than that.
20%. Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
I would not do lower
than that.
That's
like a credit card, though, no? It's like Visa, like 19. It should be. Yeah.
It should be, because that should tell them, don't take my money. It's scaring them off. Don't take my money unless you're serious about... Okay, the reason why you want to do this, okay? I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 20%, the only reason you would do and take that money is you have a sale next month or you have some transaction that needs that money for you to actually to process it.
Okay.
So for example, you have a purchase order from a client, but you don't have enough material for your clothing company.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need the 50K to buy all the clothing. So the next month you can actually make 300K, and then whatever interest doesn't matter because it's 20% mm-hmm. a year,
yeah.
20% a year. And I only need it for 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah. So the sales are already happening. So you just need to fulfill
it. So that's a wise use of your money, and mm-hmm. that's why you should give that money. Now, let's say you're not in that situation. You just have an idea to start a fashion company, and you can draw designs. And I need 50K so I can live, so I can draw designs, and then sell the designs someday.
Yeah, no.
Now, that's they're not going to take the 20%.
No, of course.
They're not going to take the 20% because they're like, I need time, I need effort. I'm really far away. Your 20% seems unreasonable to them,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. That's why you want them to say no to this, to this transaction. So it's a very different. So don't think of the 20% as trying to screw your friend. So, think of the 20% as a way to tell your friend, "Are you sure you want this money?"
That's it. It's an extra bar to be cleared there that really puts things into perspective, and it'll give you like that friend that extra like thought they'd have to put into it.
Are you sure that this money will get you over the hump?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have one shot at money from me. That's the other thing it says, right? You say, hey, this is what I need to charge you, 20%. The door is open if you don't want to say no right now, but I want to make sure that when you take this money, you're going to make money back. And your friend, that no is much better than no. I don't want to do it. It just says, no, I don't want to do it until you're ready.
Okay.
And the 20%, that's what tells me that you're ready because you can make more than 20% with this loan. Right?
Yeah. No, definitely. Like it is something that you're helping out without helping. Like without just like, you just don't have to put anything. You're just making them very conscious about their current situation and being honest with themselves. Like, yes, I'm going to take this money and then for sure you'll get it back. Or like, eesh, maybe I'm not there yet.
You're giving them clear goals.
Mm-hmm.
To win your support.
Yeah.
If you phrase it that way, your friend won't be pissed. The friend will be like, that's really smart advice. You can be my guide. So mm-hmm. you can actually be the judge of his next idea and his next idea. And at some point, the judge will give you the thumbs up and you can guide him to the right idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and they'll listen to you. Exactly. Like because like you came up with good advice when they needed it.
And you're willing to give them a shot, but the shot has to be a clear shot that both of you think will win. Right?
Yeah.
I want to have that second opinion. And if you don't want a second opinion as a CEO or an entrepreneur from someone that you respect, you're about to take money from, then maybe you shouldn't take money from them.
No, exactly. Like if you
explain that way to the person who asks you for money, say, look, if you respect me, then you should respect my opinion. If you think you can make more than 20% on this then explain me why, and you can take the 20% loan and you can make money back, right? But if you can't explain it to me, then you probably have a bad idea. Because if you go to a bank, the bank will give you 20%. Not only will give you 20%, but they'll make you do payments immediately, maybe. I won't, right? They may ask you for a personal guarantee. I won't. They're going to make you go through all this hassle and all this pain. I won't. But yeah. I need to look you in the eye and say, are you going to make this money something that's a one time? Because I'm going to loan you money once. That's it. One time. That's it. And this is your one opportunity. I want to make sure you have a clean shot at goal.
Yeah, there's definitely like some perks right there. Like that.
If you said that to someone, there's no way they get pissed at you, right?
No.
If they did, then don't work with them. They're not good people.
It is. Yeah, that's true. Like if they're not willing to appreciate what you're offering besides the money, it's they're going to have some issues within their own like project or whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah. And here's what's going to happen. It may work out, which you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It may not work out, which you're fine. But maybe there's a middle ground where it kind of works out. So give them relief on the 20%. Just say, don't pay me till the end. Or don't worry about it until you're ready. But keep charging the 20%.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
don't be like, don't break legs and shit. don't go and try to get the money. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just assume you lost the money and be cool about it. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the best way to look at it. Because if you don't, you're going to be screwed.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like it's the good, like the right approach to the situation. Like somebody comes over asking for money, you're like, okay, here, have it. I don't expect anything. Yeah.
So just to continue the story.
Mm-hmm.
So this person couldn't get me the loan, but they know that actually I'm worth something because my stock is actually worth something. And so the doctor investor said, hey, I have this other person who has an investment group. They usually invest in biotech companies, but they may be interested. And this person is pretty, you know, wealthy. So he might be able to do a lot of the money. So I met with him about a week ago. Finally, after a couple of weeks of going back and forth about the schedule, because this is a very important doctor, very important surgeon that has a lot of surgeries and a lot of, you know, things going on. And we hit it off. Like on Monday, he said, I want to do it.
Awesome.
I want to do it. Yeah, because we just totally hit it off. He knows about the space somewhat because he has a friend who's a scrap metal recycler who's retired. And they think it's a great idea. They want to do it. And he has to come visit us in the lab. And then he said he's going to get set something last week, but he never did. So I worried about it, okay? So I went to the other person who referred me and said, hey, what's going on? He said, I did speak with that person. And okay. He's actually very interested. More interested than I thought. More interested than I thought, because I thought he was going to put some money in, but I didn't know he wanted to put that much money in. Because he wants to do the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Then you don't need anybody else.
Yeah. So he has his investment group. I find out that they're going on a trip. That's why he didn't get back to me, because they were organizing that last minute trip to go buy a company somewhere in Germany.
Oh, nice.
Like a drug company or something. So these guys obviously have money because they're going to buy a drug company or something in Germany.
Yeah.
And they have to go there for a week and they have to stop somewhere. It doesn't really matter the details.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why he didn't get back to me yet. And then I said, please ping him for me and let them know, you know, that if you should invest in us and if you need it, I'm willing to vouch my shares of my last company.
Okay.
As collateral. Right? Because I really believe in it so much that I'm willing to bet on myself. I was willing to loan money to basically fund the company myself. And they actually know that person. So they actually know the same group of people. And he can vouch that my shares are worth something. And I will be willing to, you know, put some of that towards obviously my family and then the rest of it towards this investment if something goes wrong. And then a couple hours later, the investor called me, right? Because I guess he pinged him, but I don't think he mentioned that part. But I mentioned that to the investor. But before that, the investor said, I'm really sorry. I had this trip last minute. I'm truly interested. I'm going to meet with you next week. When I come back, I'll let you know. And I said, look, I'm very serious. And I said, look, I'm willing to vouch these shares. And then he said, great. Thank you. That shows some commitment. And then he's like, yeah, I'm very serious too. And then, but I have to go on this trip. I'll come back and we'll visit the lab and we'll let you know. And that's how I left it off.
That's good.
Okay. So the number one reason why I think this works out is because this person has their own money and looked me in the eye and said, I'm willing to do this and lead this round. Now, at this level, when you get this wealthy or this successful or this age, mm-hmm. right, he's older than me, there's no bullshitting.
Exactly.
Either you do it or you don't do it, because you don't waste your time. It's just too important to not follow through with something, especially something this small in their world. Okay.
And what's the point of leading you on anyways? I mean, like, you have a friendship already, so like why ruin that?
Well, I mean, I just met this guy once, so there's no friendship. You're confused with the other person, right?
No, so
This person I haven't met, right? So this person I had one lunch with and we hit it off.
Okay.
So there's no friendship. It's just like, you know, like instant.
Okay. Yeah, got it.
It's a connection, okay? Mm-hmm. He's actually Indian, right? Yeah. We talked about reincarnation and all other stuff and spiritual stuff. And we talked about all this stuff about how to manage people and how to motivate them. So if he listens to this podcast, he'll agree with 99% of the things I say. Treat people right, motivate them, make them feel important, be the central story of their lives. And then if you treat them really well and overpay them, you have a loyal, you know, not only employee, but a family member.
Yeah. People build up into these things. It's awesome.
No, I'm just saying his way of management is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I can learn a lot from him. And I think I can learn a lot from, you know, the other doctor too. I think these guys could be really good mentors for me. So I think there's a connection there, and I hope these guys say yes. But that's, I would say, 90%.
Okay. That's a good one. The other two options were 50-50, so.
Okay. Reason why is 90%. The connection. Mm-hmm. Okay. He verbally said yes. But also, when he invests in the company, he's investing not just me, but perhaps his friend's son, who's going to work for us, right? Potentially.
Okay.
And then his, you know, his friend is also going to be involved as an investor and also helping us with some stuff. And so it's an investment for personal reasons. It doesn't have to be, like I just said to you, right? Mm-hmm. If you invest in your friend or something like personally, don't expect to make money back. Do it because you like the person and you want to invest in their future and the journey and the adventure. See that? It's a different investment.
Yeah.
But it's also got that element plus the element of, this is going to make a lot of money. How many investments have both? Right? Where actually the triple is, you can actually have someone you work with be involved in the company and then co-invest in you. And this person's son is actually going to work there. And you really like the CEO a lot. Right? And so, and I know they have money. And I know they can help us too. So in your life, you have to make a decision. But this guy's already made great decisions in his life. He's invested in a lot of things. He's older. He's wise. And I think he can help us. So I think that's why it's 90%. But we won't know until they come back. So he's got to contact me. I'm going to work with this other investor to see if we can tag team, right? To make sure that he does that. And once he sees the technology and he asks all the questions and we have the plan laid out, I believe he's going to say yes and we will be done.
That'd be it. Like for everybody who's been following us for like a little bit, this funding aspect has been on a daily basis.
Yeah. So this is actually the real, you know, this is, so I'm having dinner with one of the investor we talked mm-hmm. about that's going to help me, the one that referred him, right? I'm having dinner with him tonight to make plans and see how we can help each other, you know, convince this guy. Next week, we'll probably have a podcast either right before the visit or after the visit. We'll see what happens. So maybe I can wait till after the visit, see what happens.
Let's see what's up. Be some great news.
Yeah, maybe I can wait. The next podcast could be after the visit, and I'll give you whether number one draft pick is dead or not. Okay, and then when Mass Ventures, you know, let us know. Like, mm-hmm. we'll let you know, right?
Yeah.
And basically, if that all fails, if those fails, the third one fails, right? The second one fails, then we go to the third one, mm-hmm. which is the personal connection, right?
Yeah.
And those are 1, 2, 3, I'm out. Like baseball.
Got three strikes. Well, no, what happened with the Republic?
No, they said they can't do it. Like the loan, they can't do that, right? Oh, oh. Republic. Oh, you're talking. Oh no, you're talking about the. I'm talking about the bank. No, no, no. I thought you meant First Republic, the bank. Okay, you mean Republic, the campaign. We have $100,000, but we need $3 million, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, that buys time, no?
No, it doesn't buy enough time because we have a big team. We have like 7 people.
Oh, man.
Because like, we have to get a lot done too. We can't. This is not an internet company. This is a hardware company. We have to build shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to buy stuff too, and we have to have manufacturing, all that stuff. So, it's cross our fingers. It's going to happen very soon. Something will happen.
Or no, definitely.
End of January, this podcast will probably end or continue season whatever 4, season 5. But yeah, it's crazy, right?
It is crazy. Like, this whole situation has been ups and downs, and it's been a fun, interesting ride.
Well, we'll know soon. So this is the middle of the story, the ending of the story. Okay, but even crazier, okay, is I like to make some predictions for 2023 outside of our company.
Ooh.
The woo-woo part now.
The woo-woo. Let's get this.
So now that Congress has settled, we have a majority speaker, we have all these things. What was really important at the end of 2023 was the congressional bill for the military budget that included money for basically UFO research department, as well as a whistleblower clause where people who work on secret technology like alien spaceships that we recovered as a government, they can actually tell the truth about those alien recoveries, the materials, the research they've been doing, and all these secret black ops projects that actually aren't being run by the government, but being run by Lockheed Martin and these private companies. And that's how they obfuscate and hide that they're actually doing this.
Like the third party stuff.
Right. So Congress has gotten wind of this and they're actually very serious about it. It might actually be part of a disclosure that has been planned a long time ago and coordinated maybe between the government. And maybe they also have relationships with the aliens. But literally, I believe that we have been in contact with them. This sounds crazy. Obviously, it sounds crazy. As well as have material. Because of, you know, I've done a lot of research. And basically, the evidence has been very clear. Because if you look and you look at the data that comes back, there are spaceships in our atmosphere going around Navy ships in the East Coast, off the Atlantic, as well as in the West Coast off of LA, San Diego, near Catalina Island.
Okay.
Many people have taken photos. There's actually called a show called A Chair in the Sky, where they try to do that off Catalina Island. They have the Nimitz encounter that where they actually, Navy pilots saw it. There's a lot of content out there. You guys can look yourself.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But my prediction is because of that law, now we can have congressional hearings with the truth come out, and there's going to be more and more people come out in 2023. That's going to say crazier things than I have said. And we'll have mounting evidence that what I just said is true. And I've been saying it for 50 weeks that aliens are real. Not only are they real, they've actually been guiding us probably, right, through the millennia as angels, or what we call angels. We've lived many, many civilizations on this planet. Like, for example, 12,000 years ago, 12,500 years or something like that, the Younger Dryas event happened that supposedly there was a comet. It's called the Taurid comet, right? Taurid meteor storm. Is the Taurid meteor storm is when the comet went near the sun.
Okay.
It broke up into small pieces and became meteors. So around, like, I think June, July timeframe, you can see 1 meter. And it comes back again in the fall. It goes around the sun.
Oh, nice.
Because the comet was at one big rock and it broke into smaller rocks. And it becomes like a meteor shower, right? And they were really big at the beginning. As you would, you know, if the comet broke at the beginning, there'd be big pieces. And some of the big pieces hit the Earth. Oh. And it hit the Earth for about 1,000 years. For what, 1,000 years, bigger pieces of that meteor storm hit the Earth. In June, fall, whenever it came around the Earth, it hit twice a year. And it destroyed Atlantis. It destroyed the original Egyptians who built the original pyramids, the original Sphinx and all that. All that dates back to at least 12,000 years or before, right?
Okay.
And there are people with ancient technologies. These ancient technologies were based probably on sound, on psychic abilities, on other things that we don't understand, because they probably found another branch of knowledge.
The sound thing I was looking into, I was watching one of the Joe Rogan podcasts, and they had this guy on explaining how they could levitate things with sound, and it got pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, I know because I'm working with a company. Mm-hmm. This is a startup that they use sound to grind things into smaller pieces.
Man.
So we sent them some samples. They're going to try to see if the technology works. But this has been around a long time. Like Tesla invented the technology, or other people, you know, like a long time ago. And all these smart physicists already knew it. There were patents filed from various companies. And this startup actually took all the patents, got the rights to it, and actually assembled something that actually works.
Oh. Okay. They just break stuff with sound.
If you can take big rocks and make them into smaller rocks with sound, you can do things, for example, maybe levitate the rocks.
Yeah.
Or maybe you can slice the rocks into precision cuts. Okay. Precision cuts that basically shape squares to make the pyramid blocks.
Yeah.
Right. Or to make the megaliths. It could be a big stone and the sound waves can actually be carving it through some type of water. So you can actually control water. So apparently, Matteo DiStefano, this person claims that he reincarnates and he can remember his past.
Yeah.
And in the past, during the time of Atlantis, he was one of there was four guilds. There was a fire, water, earth, and air, right? As most legends are, right? Like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Probably, right? and his guild was the water guild. And he would sing songs with other people. And those people, because of their singing, could control water and slice blocks.
With their singing. Man. That's crazy power to have.
Now, there are legends like the walls of Jericho, right? The walls of Jericho, apparently in the Bible, there are these huge walls, and the priests walked around, like, I think 7 days singing or chanting, whatever it is, and the walls of Jericho fell down. Right?
Yeah.
There are legends like that. Okay, look it up. That's in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's other evidence that sound, it can actually impact the shape of water. And the shape of things that vibrate and make different patterns. And there's a whole branch of science, I forget the name of the branch of science, where water and vibrations and stuff can make different patterns. And the universal symbols that you know, they kind of like repeat. And you guys can look into that. That's actually real stuff, real science. Now, imagine we actually found that out earlier. How to use sound and maybe the telepathic abilities that they had back then was actually more powerful than we have. So what? Maybe the sound was a way to channel their minds, to then use their minds to do what we can do today. So imagine that you had a third eye, which you can't. But if you're a worm, and then you had the first eye ever, then you'd have special powers compared to other worms.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gary Nolan, like I talked about back in the past, has already found the detector for how telepathic you are. It's an MRI scan of your brain. And if you have a basal ganglia, that's part of your brain. The basal ganglia controls your motor cortex. It controls your movement, essentially. It's a remote control for your body. And he believes that there's a receiver there, right? In the caudate putamen, right? It's a part of the basal ganglia that essentially connects you to the quantum realm. That's what I believe. And that's the quantum realm is where your soul is. And your soul is controlling your body at the closest spot, which is the remote control for your body. That's why it has to be in the same spot. So as a scientist, think of it this way, right? You have the Nintendo Switch. You have the controller. Your fingers have to be next to the controller to push the controller. It has to be on the controller, in fact. So on the caudate putamen, right? The caudate putamen, that's a part of the basal ganglia, right? That's what controls the basal ganglia is essentially the remote control, and the caudate putamen is controlling it from the quantum realm. Now, if that area is enlarged, there's more activity there, the MRI machine will show it. And Gary Nolan has tested patients that were brought to him by the CIA. Google now Gary Nolan, he says this himself, right? He's a Stanford professor. He's sold multiple companies in the biotech space. He's gotten awards. He runs a whole department there. Well-renowned, the CIA came to him with patients and said, look, these patients have UFO encounters with aliens. Can you see if there's a physical difference? Because they got sick. Some of them even died. Shit. And that's how he found out with these MRIs, because he's a biologist. He found out that that's the pattern was all these people have enlargement in the basal ganglia. All right. And that's how he knew that was basically the mutant detector. To see if someone's telepathic. And he's curious. He tested himself. He tested his family. And he also has it. His family has it. And he found patterns where people who are family members tend to have more of it. So the mutant is a trait that humans have. And they tend to marry each other. Okay? Soulmates, maybe. I don't know. But the idea is telepathy is real. Mutant power is real. But we are just getting it right now. But imagine back then, they had it like 10 times more. They had more and they could control it. And there was a whole way you can detect to see if you should be one of the singers because you were more talented than others. Yeah. And then you had a screening where 1% of the people who were talented were the mages of the time, were the Harry Potters of the time. They got into Hogwarts. Hogwarts taught them magic. And one of the magic was a sect where you would sing and using the sound of your spell. Singing could be a spell, right? You activate your mind, focus it on something together because the singing syncs your mind to all the other minds. And all the other minds combine to be more powerful than one mind. And together you can actually move rocks. And that's how rocks were moved. Okay. And imagine that there were also giants. Giants can also help me move stuff. And there were giants back then. And all those things, right, are actually true because they found bones. Okay. And in Alaska, in particular, if you listen to Joe Rogan, he had a person on. He found mammoth bones.
Yeah, and ate bones some of the meat.
other creatures 12,000 years ago. They all died around the same time as when that meteor storm was supposed to hit. And that's evidence that all these other animals existed way before man thought they did. Yeah. In areas they never thought.
And they were there.
And Göztepe, right? Göztepe in Turkey, right? That site is 12,000 years ago. And they found a second site nearby. And so basically it means that the Egyptians, which is supposed to be 5,000 years ago, they were people who did the same thing 12,000 years ago, right?
It puts things in perspective for sure.
Right. And so basically there's mounting scientific evidence plus... This year, right, the Galileo Project will start giving data back. So the Galileo Project is the project where the Harvard scientist is collecting data about aliens on Earth and all this. Mm-hmm. And then the Navy pilots will come out and say more things that happened to them. The pilots, commercial pilots, the CIA operatives who are in there, the people who work for Lockheed Martin, there'll be whistleblowers all year. And this is going to be the biggest thing that happens in 2023. That's my prediction. Disclosure starts to happen. All the stuff I said won't sound so crazy anymore, and people will probably listen to the show more.
It'll be right here. It's recorded and on YouTube forever.
And this is evidence I know what's happening. So stick with me, kids. You're going to learn a lot. So this is the end of What the Fook. It's an hour or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully I download you some crazy knowledge. Right? I sound sane the first half, and the second half, I'm crazy.
So it gets fun.
Or I'm right.
See you guys next time. Take care.
See ya.